food's emotional, it's social, it's connection, it's fun. And I think that's the mark that we miss a lot with the diet culture, is that we think it's an all or nothing.
As long as you're getting your macros, it doesn't matter if it's coming from like healthy food options or if it's coming from junk. As long as you're getting your macros, you're good to go. Do you believe in that?
You know, you mentioned a key word there, macros. What about those micros? Think of it this way, right? Those macronutrients, so to define that, you know, proteins, carbohydrates, and fats, those big energy producing foods, they need those micronutrients, the vitamins and minerals and nutrients and antioxidants to help them be utilized in the body. So that's kind of why I became a dietitian. I don't want any athletes to feel the way I did or struggle or be injured the way I was. I think it's a population where we always focus on the elite athletes, right? Or the professional athletes, but they all started off as high school and college athletes first. And so I really want to focus on that group, high school and college athletes. So many of them are training really hard. They're spending days and hours in the gym with trainers, with their coaches, with their teammates, and they're just not where they want to be. And often that missing piece is nutrition. Nutrition is so unique and so different for everyone. You can't just copy and paste a fueling plan and call it a day.
Hi guys, everyone, welcome back to All About Sports, the podcast, a podcast for the fans and by the fans. Today, you're joined by your co-host, Rishabh.
Hey everyone.
Myself, Shubham, and we have a special guest. We have Stephanie with us. Hi Stephanie, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. This is really exciting.
Yes. So for all our viewers and listeners, a little bit about Stephanie. Stephanie is a sports dietitian. She's very passionate about helping elite level high school and college athletes. She also has her own competitive athlete nutrition academy. The link will be down in the description below. And we'll obviously get to learn a lot more about Stephanie throughout this podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out to talking to us right now. Just to start off with, just want to understand a little bit about yourself. So if you could introduce yourself to our viewers and listeners, and how and why did you choose to become a dietitian?
Sure. That's a great question. So my name is Stephanie Militano. I am a board certified sports dietitian, and I do specialize in helping high school and college athletes really take their game to the next level with nutrition. So many of them are training really hard. They're spending days and hours in the gym with trainers, with their coaches, with their teammates, and they're just not where they want to be. And often that missing piece is nutrition. It's really just making sure they have the energy to keep pushing through practices. They're recovering well. They're preventing injuries, and we're just keeping them in the game, and we're keeping them in the game, but also making sure that they're playing at their best. I really want to give them that competitive edge. So that's really what I help athletes with, is just building that fueling plan and building their confidence. Because I always say to my clients, like, I'd love to work with you forever, but I really want to make sure that you have the confidence to adapt your own fueling plan, you know, based on what you have coming up, your team, your level, and that sort of stuff. And so kind of brings me back to the second half of your question, is, you know, why did I become a dietitian? You know, I was that competitive high school athlete where I played a lot. Soccer was my sport, and I was traveling a lot for, you know, tournaments and games. And I was just falling short of what I needed. And, you know, I was under fueling, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about that too, and what that means for athletes, but I just didn't have enough energy. I had a lot of injuries. I wasn't putting muscle on, you know, and after, you know, one final, you know, leg break, stress fracture situation. My doctor said, you know, I think it's time that you, we take a deeper dive into what's going on. And so we looked at, you know, I had bone scans and blood work and all of this. And I ended up meeting with a dietitian. And to be perfectly honest, she was not helpful. I remember leaving that meeting with my dad and being like, I think we're doing this on our own. Right. And so we just spent years researching and looking stuff up, and I don't want any athlete to feel isolated like I did and left out and having to do things on their own. And so that's why I've really made it my mission to help high school and college athletes. So one, they've got sound nutrition information. It's not just what Google tells them, but also it's something that's individualized and tailored to them, because nutrition is so unique and so different for everyone. You can't just copy and paste a fueling plan and call it a day. So that's kind of why I became a dietitian. I don't want any athletes to feel the way I did or struggle or be injured the way I was.
No, I just think your motivation is just fantastic. And it really shows how passionate you are about it, because you've gone through it. So you really want to make things better for the future generation of athletes. And, you know, like when you talk about sports diet or sports nutrition. So I did my undergrad in sports. I was studying sports management, and some of my housemates were doing sports science and sports nutrition. And that is where I got a little bit introduced to different diets, and it actually helped me in whatever training I was doing. But you know, one thing I found interesting in one of your reels, where you said that perhaps energy drinks is not something that you should consume. And to be very honest, when I saw that reel, I was like, is it? Because I've been taking energy drinks like pretty much all my life. So can you just elaborate a little bit on why you made that suggestion?
Yeah. So I think we have to look at the question of why. You know, why are you relying, not you specifically, but why are athletes relying on energy drinks to get them through the day or get them through practice? Is it because they're not eating the right things? They're not fueling at the right times? They're not giving their body the right energy, so they're feeling drained? And so that quick fix answer would just be a lot of caffeine, right? And so that's kind of one of the things, like, are you masking under fueling or not eating enough with caffeine? And so your energy's up, but your body's still not getting the fuel that it needs. So eventually, you know, that system is going to break, and you may find yourself on the bench injured, or, you know, not being able to put muscle on, or those sorts of things. So that's kind of my main concern, is what are we covering up when we're drinking a lot of caffeine? I'm not against caffeine. I think it's a great, really great, especially pre-workout, to help you pick up, but we want to look at those more natural sources, like a cup of coffee and those sorts of things. The second piece, and one of my biggest concerns, you know, when I'm chatting with high school and college athletes, is the speed at which they're drinking energy drinks, right? Because they taste so good and they're a little bit fizzy and they're kind of fun and their flavors are nice. You drink them really quickly. So you can get 300 plus milligrams of caffeine in a really short amount of time, where typically people aren't chugging cups of coffee that fast. There are some that are, but most don't, right? And so even a cup of coffee doesn't have that 300 milligrams. And so that's kind of a big concern too, especially with the younger athletes, is giving them that much caffeine in such a short window. You know, I was at a seminar a few years ago, and I wish I remember who said this, but it was a researcher, and she was talking about athletes and caffeine. And she said that when you're under fuel, or you don't have enough energy on board to even just help you get through practice, and you have more caffeine, you just do stupid things faster. So you're not energized. You're not doing anything properly. You're just pushing through, and you're not doing things, you know, with real finesse or real muscle, and really not taking your game to that next level. So that's kind of my second concern. And the third concern is the ingredients and those proprietary blends that you really don't know what's in them. And they say they have this, but maybe they may have other things. You know, it's just a lot that goes into the energy drink. It's not just, you know, you shouldn't have them. It's the why. You know, can we look at your nutrition and your hydration and really make an impact? That's a little bit bigger.
Perfect. I feel like that's good words of advice for us as well. Like, Marlo and I are definitely not athletes of the level that you typically deal with, but I'm sure we consume sports drinks as if we are. So it's good advice for us as well. And I think, Stephanie, the next question we had actually alludes to something you spoke about earlier, which is customizing a diet plan for specific athletes. So what are some of the factors that you are looking at when determining what kind of a diet to set for a specific athlete? Because you work across sports, and even within a sport, there's a wide variety of both body types as well as metabolism rates. What are things you're looking at to customize a diet plan for your athletes?
You are spot on, right? You've got the sport, and then you have the position, and then you've got the training load. So how often are they training? How long is that training? How intense is that training? Like, that's that training load of what goes into that. Their body type and their goals around their training and their muscle mass and their body type. I'm also looking at their schedule, right? How much time do they have to eat? It's, you know, right now we're recording this, it's summer. So a lot of athletes have a lot more time. They're, you know, especially my clientele, their parents are home now. So they have more time to go to the store and plan things out, where when fall hits and preseason starts and school is back in swing, it's chaos. So they have a lot less time. So we're looking at really quick on the fly options, you know, and then some other things, you know, we're looking at, it may be a bit of disordered eating, or, you know, we're trying to work through some challenge foods or changes in menstrual cycle. So if you're under fueling, for my female athletes, one of the first things your body shuts down is that menstrual cycle and increases your injury risk, or is that athlete prone to injuries? And so we're not looking at, you should have X calories and this much protein. We're really looking at the big picture of how should you fuel around your training, during your training, after your training with food, right? Because food is so much more than the calories. It's just so much that goes into it. So, you know, I think the biggest mistake athletes make are thinking they can just find a fueling plan online and print it and go. And that couldn't be the farthest from the truth, because it's so important that you're adapting it to you and everything you have going on.
Perfect. That makes a lot of sense. And I think that's good advice as well for athletes to keep in mind. I think you covered, again, a little bit of this, but I'm sure in your line of work, you see a lot of information both online versus what your athletes come in with on predispositions or preconceptions or notions on what their diet should be. Any common myths that you see on nutrition that probably aren't true?
Oh my gosh, so many. I love this question. So I think one of the biggest ones that I see with athletes, especially when they have evening practices that go late into the night, then one of the biggest myths is, oh, I'm not allowed to eat past like X time or, you know, this certain time. And that couldn't be any, that's so wrong. You can eat anytime. Your metabolism isn't like, oh, it's 9 p.m. I'm shutting off. Like, that's not how that works. So, you know, especially if you have a late night practice, like one of my clients, you know, she finished practice at 10 p.m. She'd get home at 10:30 and then she was going to bed and not eating anything and would wake up starving, you know? And so it's like, you can add things in. There's no rule that you can't eat past 11 or anything like that. So it's just about listening to your hunger and really focusing on those sorts of things. And kind of leading into that, a lot of athletes will say, oh, I can't, when I first meet with them too, they'll say like, oh, you know, I love ice cream, but I know I can't have that anymore. So I won't eat. And it's like, no, absolutely not. Like, I'm the dietitian. Like, I love desserts. I love ice cream. I love cookies. I think they definitely fit into your fueling plan. And the method that I've created to help athletes learn how to fuel includes fun fuel. A big component of that is including fun and things you love, because you want to enjoy what you're eating. You don't want to feel like you're stuck eating bland foods. And I think that's a big piece of it. So those are two big myths that I see pretty often.
This is one thing before, Krishnan, you ask your next question. I just have a follow-up question for you, Stephanie. So you know, sometimes I've heard some fitness influencers or like just like people who are into sports, they have this belief that as long as you're getting your macros, it doesn't matter if it's coming from like healthy food options or if it's coming from junk. As long as you're getting your macros, you're good to go. Do you believe in that? Or do you think you should generally try and get it from as healthy a source as possible?
I don't believe in that. I think that, you know, you mentioned a key word there, macros, right? What about those micros? What about the vitamins and minerals? And think of it this way, right? Those macronutrients. So to define that, you know, proteins, carbohydrates, and fats, those big energy producing foods, they need those micronutrients, the vitamins and minerals and nutrients and antioxidants to help them be utilized in the body, right? So, you know, that's the energy, but the worker bees, right? Or the construction workers, the people who are building and doing all that work, those are the micronutrients in your diet. They're really breaking down and utilizing all those things. So, you know, it's so much more. Performance nutrition is so much more than just macros and just hitting that. It's about making sure your body's getting the omega-3s that it needs to help reduce inflammation, or getting the iron and B12 and vitamin D and calcium. And we're looking at all of those things, big picture. So macro counting is, you know, I try to tailor my clients away from counting calories, and I try to get them to eat more intuitively, but also based on their training schedule and their goals. And so my method, we don't really talk much about calories and macros, because you know, it's also stressful to have, you know, to have to calculate that and weigh and measure all the time too.
Completely makes sense, Stephanie. And we did kind of want to ask, you know, kind of going off that point where there are different ways, again, different vehicles for getting, you know, your dietary requirements in a day. I'm sure one of the things you're more commonly seeing now are vegan diets. I think we saw that there is a documentary, especially coming on Netflix, that specifically focuses on vegan diet. We know of some athletes. I believe Chris Paul is an athlete who is completely vegan, but there are a lot more of them. What are some of the challenges of getting and making sure you have the right nutritional intake in a vegan diet versus, say, a non-vegan diet for any of our vegan or vegetarian viewers out there?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. And with that Netflix documentary, I saw a lot more requests about like, how do I go vegan? How do I play better? And I think that's a big mistake that a lot of athletes make. They assume by just going vegan, they're going to be a stronger, better athlete. And what you forget is that a lot of these professionals have chefs, dietitians, trainers, grocery shop. They have all these people who are making sure they have everything they need. They have a doctor looking at their lab work all the time. And so I think that's the missing component too, is like they have a team helping them do it. What I've seen that documentary, and it translates into like real life, right? And these athletes that I'm working with, a lot of them will go from their very balanced, well-rounded, you know, omnivore diet where they're having plants and animals and just immediately shift to the vegan diet. And you see a big drop in their energy, their muscle mass, you know, a big risk of underfueling because they're just not doing it properly. They don't understand. And so I think a big mistake there is just not being educated on how to build a strong plant-based diet, because you can absolutely do it as an athlete. But when you jump from one to the other and you think that, you know, just having chicken instead of, you know, the quote unquote plant-based chicken versus real chicken is the quick transition, like that's just missing the mark a little bit. And so I think that, you know, for me, we're looking at just general nutrients of concern when it comes to our plant-based athletes. We're looking at iron, calcium, vitamin D, vitamin B12, and then just overall energy intake, because plants, you know, you've got to have a little bit more of a strategy to get the fuel that you need. You know, you don't have all the animal products that are really energy dense in your diet anymore.
And I love that point, because a lot of times we confuse the part that second piece that you mentioned, which is the multi-million dollar athletes have a whole team dealing with this, and just in taking one aspect of that and trying to just make it work for you may not always be the right strategy. So this though is again, for, you know, athletes at different levels, what are some of the distinctions that you make between game day nutrition compared to, say, a training day?
It depends. So there are some sports or some games where they're like, I'll give you a prime example. This is a soccer goalkeeper, a football goalkeeper. Their training days may be a lot more intense than their game days when it comes to burning fuel, where a field player may, you know, do a lot more on game days versus practice. It really depends on what that training load is in their position. But a few key distinctions can just be the energy breakdown. And, you know, I teach my athletes about the performance plates and how to build their plates and adapt that plate around their training load and how much energy they need. So just looking at that breakdown first. But then the second big piece is, on game day, you never want to try anything new. You never want to give your stomach something that could cause an issue on game day. And so that's where we call it training your gut. I work with my athletes to help them learn how to train their gut. And so we try new foods and new snacks and, you know, on practice days before practice or during practice. So they know what works for them, what portions, what timing. So when they get to game day, it's just copy and paste. You know what works well and you can kind of roll with that versus trying something new. I think that's a big thing we see when athletes are traveling or they have tournament weekends or big, you know, meets and competition weekends, is they'll just go to the concession stand and try to find something. You cannot rely on that. You've got to have a game plan. You've got to bring foods, you know.
No, I think that's such an amazing point you make, because I follow football a lot. And in England, football is big. So like All these top players at these top clubs, they will always meet at the training ground, have a meal together, which is already like prepared by the chef. And it's the same meal that they have generally before every match. So that makes total sense that you don't want to surprise your system with something new and then have an issue with your performance. Another thing I want to touch upon is, obviously, we've spoken a lot about the importance of fueling your body correctly. And especially when it comes to post-workout, like having that recovery in place is extremely important for your body to grow and just heal. I believe a lot of times people believe, and quite honestly, even I believe, because that is how I used to train, after your workout, the most important macronutrition is protein. You just need to feed your body protein so your muscles can recover. But you have very interestingly said that it should be a ratio of 3:1. So 3 goes to carbs and 1 comes to protein. Can you just explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, because that's actually, that could be a whole nother myth that athletes believe too. Like they only need protein after training. And what you really want to do is you want to refill your muscle energy stores. And then that's when your body feels most efficient at rebuilding. And so you refill that store with carbohydrates, that glycogen, right? That's that storage form of carbohydrate in your muscles. So you want to refill the carbohydrate. And that's why it's a 3:1 ratio. It's a lot more carbs than protein, because once your body's refilled, then it can really utilize that protein as amino acids to start rebuilding and strengthening that muscle for that next training session.
That's actually very, very interesting, because quite frankly, all my life I've just been like, protein is my go-to sauce. And kind of neglected carbs, but that's a very interesting thought. And perhaps I think I would even try to make that change to my diet. And you know, like when we talk about elite athletes, obviously they have a team and they're very, very disciplined with what they do. One such athlete is Cristiano Ronaldo. And you know, in an interview, he said that he gets pretty upset if his son, who I think must be like 10, 11, 12, wants to have cola or wants to have chips, like just stuff that kids want to have. And how often do you think is it fine for an athlete to have like a cheat day or just binge and stuff without it affecting his performance too much? Or are they just supposed to be like always on this focused, super strict diet?
Yeah, so I don't believe in calling them cheat days or, you know, allowing, you know, really what that does is it puts a bad stigma on that food, right? It makes food good versus bad. And honestly, any food can be bad if you eat too much of it, right? Even avocados or nuts or cucumbers, right? Can be not good if you're eating too much of it. And so the way I teach my athletes and in my method is that fun part, it's about finding balance, right? If they want one dessert a day, that's not, especially an elite athlete, you know, or a competitive high school and college athlete, that's not going to tip them over, right? If they're having one cookie, that's about 150 calories, like their body might even need that quick fuel, you know? So I think for them, it's about time, it's about place, and it's about that portion, right? So you're not going to have a milkshake before training, probably not the best idea. You're not going to have one every single day, but if you know you need a recovery shake where, you know, that protein shake, you want to go throw a scoop of ice cream in there, like absolutely enjoy it. I think food isn't just fuel. Food's emotional, it's social, it's connection, it's fun. And I think that's the mark that we miss a lot with the diet culture is that we think it's an all or nothing. Nutrition is a big gray area. I think you can absolutely have all of these foods and be a very competitive, strong, energized athlete. So it's about finding that fine line. If an athlete is thriving off of cookies for breakfast and donuts and cake and all of that sort of stuff every day, that's a whole nother discussion. But if they're including one fun treat every day, I think that's perfectly fine. As long as the rest of their day is balanced and they're fueling their goals and they're reaching their performance goals, that one kind of fun snack is not going to throw them off.
I think the keyword that you use out here is balance, which is something which is not a part of my diet anymore. If I'm just binging on chocolates and cookies, I just can't stop. But yeah, I understand the thought process behind just having a good balanced diet, because then you can perhaps have some variables in your diet and still manage. And talking about diet and nutrition, you have your academy. And like everything that we've spoken to you so far, obviously there's so much that you know. And I just want you to talk to our viewers and listeners about how did you come up with the idea of starting your academy and what's the end goal with the academy?
Yeah. So I created the Competitive Athlete Nutrition Academy as an online learning platform for athletes. You know, I want to give athletes the tools that I didn't have. As you know, a competitive high school and college athlete, I want to make sure that they have access to information that is sound, but also I want them to make steps towards building their confidence in that nutrition plan. So the academy, it's built around my four fuel method, which is fuel, finesse, so that timing, fluids, and then fun. And it really walks them through those four foundational pillars through lots of videos. There's over 30 videos in there to really help them break down and set goals every week around those four pillars. We have lots of resources, handouts, recipes within the academy, but then we also come together once a month for monthly team calls, which allows them to come and ask questions about fueling, like kind of all the things that we've been talking about, ask about hydration and pre-workout snacks. And, you know, it allows them to also sit back and learn from other athletes too. Because other athletes may ask questions or be doing things like, oh, wow, I didn't even think to do that, right? And so that's really my mission, is just to give them the information and the tools and the resources to elevate their game with nutrition. And then we also add in the experts. And so I think it's so important to look at your game from that global perspective, right? We're not just training. It's not just nutrition. You know, it's not just recovery. It's how it all comes together. So we bring in experts to talk about injury prevention or mindset or game day anxiety. So we've got, you know, psychologists and physical therapists and college athletes coming in to talk to the high school athletes about what they can do to set themselves apart, and college coaches and yoga instructors. So I try to bring in one expert every month to really help the athletes round out their nutrition plan and their just overall training plan, because I want them to be the best athlete that they can be. So that's really my goal. I wanted to give as many athletes as I could access to just, you know, any tool that they could do to take their game to the next level.
I just think it's such a cool mission that you have going on for yourself. And to all our viewers and listeners, how you can get in touch with Stephanie and Academy, we'll put the links down below so you guys can check her Instagram, you guys can check her Academy page. And yeah, just moving on, I would like the last question for me is, again, when I was going through your Instagram, I honestly think your Instagram is super informative and it's really cool, because just scrolling through your Instagram, you get to learn so much. There was one interesting thing that you mentioned about, like people generally believe for female athletes when they're training really hard, not getting your periods is normal. But you said it is common that you don't get your periods, but that doesn't mean it's normal. So there's a difference between common and and just being normal. So firstly, why does it happen that when you train really hard for female athletes, their periods might go amiss? And is there anything that they can do in terms of diet and nutrition to perhaps prevent that from happening?
Yeah, definitely. So a lot of doctors will say like, oh, it's fairly normal for you to lose your period during training. And it's not normal. It happens to a lot of athletes. It's common. But why it happens is because their body just doesn't have enough energy, call it low energy availability, to push through training and then do all of their metabolic processes to rebuild bone and muscle and support their immune system and their menstrual cycle. And so when their body is forced to choose between training and all these metabolic processes, but the athlete's going to training and forcing the body to go through training kind of under fueled, the body says, well, let me save energy in other ways. And so it starts shutting down the menstrual cycle. So it may be more irregular or leave completely. It starts not having the energy in the building blocks to build stronger bones. They may see more injuries along with that as well. And this could be a couple of things when it comes to underfueling or low energy availability. It could come from under eating. So just not eating enough fuel. It could come from overtraining. So they're, you know, eating enough for where they should be, but then there's an out, like maybe like preseason, right? They've been eating enough fine all year, but now preseason's here and they've got 3 hours of practice per day versus an hour and a half. And they're just not quite adjusting up a little bit, or it could be a combination of both. Most often it's a combination of both. Like the lifestyle, it gets really busy. They think they're eating enough. They, you know, one thing I'll see is a lot of athletes are like, oh, I'm eating a lot of fruits and vegetables. That's great. But for what you need, it's not going to give you the energy that you need. Right. And so that's kind of one of the big mistakes that I see from athletes who are under fueling. And that's why the body says, you know, I'm going to turn this period off for a little bit to save some energy. And one thing we work on to help them get back their period and strengthen their body again is we want them to be consistent with their fuel. We want to make sure that, you know, every few hours we're adding something to the tank. We're having meals, filling holes with snacks. We've got pre-workout meals and post-workout snacks and all of that good stuff to help bring out that energy. You know, we don't want them to feel hungry or feel like their body's missing out on things. We want them to tap into that hunger, you know, fuel around their training and make sure they're bringing that energy back up to where it needs to be.
That's really helpful, Stephanie. And I think one of the big points, you know, both in the last question and overall in this conversation is there are lots of really quick facts that you can get access to. And it's really easy to quickly convince yourself that this is the right thing to do. Or for example, this fact is true and convince yourself of things. So for people who don't maybe have, everyone won't have access to the same resources, but by and large, are there some basic tips that you have for athletes to keep in mind when it comes to nutrition?
Yeah. This is a great question. Like I talk about this all the time. If there's one thing that you can do this week, it's just be consistent, right? Start building out strong meals, plan ahead. Don't skip snacks if you can, right? Try to have a plan because life gets busy and you may be hungry when you're at the store or going between practices or running errands with your parents. And so making sure that you've got some snacks on hand can be really, really helpful. So I think being consistent and planning ahead are my biggest two tips. And then outside of that, it's think about what you can do before training and after training to help with that energy and then recovery from practice. And the final tip is hydrate. You know, we talk so much about nutrition, and I think hydration is, you know, a lot of people forget that it is a huge pillar in your nutrition plan. And so that's why I've made it a really foundational principle in my 4-Fuel method. Like third pillar is fluids, right? Because we want to talk about making sure you're hydrated. So that final tip is grab your water bottle and sip all day, especially in the summer. It's really important.
Perfect. Stephanie, last question. Okay. Obviously, done a lot already. You set up your academy as well. What are your future career goals? Any like types of athletes that you would like to work with going forward?
Yeah, I just want to continue to be a resource for high school and college athletes. I think it's a population where we always focus on the elite athletes, right? Or the professional athletes, but they all started off as high school and college athletes first. And so I really want to focus on that group and making sure they're getting everything they need to be successful, healthy, and strong, and really take their game to that next level, whether it is playing at the collegiate level or pro or just club. And that's all, wherever they are, I want them to be really successful. So I've really just, you know, dedicated, you know, my career to that and to my past self and what I would hope I would have had and, you know, and making sure the athletes have what I wish I had. So that's really my goal, is I want to make sure I'm creating as much content, as many resources as I can. And that's really where the academy came, because I just want everyone to have sound information to build their plan.
No, absolutely. I just think like you said, the content that you create, it'll be your Instagram or your academy. It's really cool. And yeah, thank you for sharing all the information that you had and for taking time out. Just to end this podcast, we'd like to have a fun rapid fire round with you. So just a few quick questions to ask. Whatever comes to your head first, just go for it, okay?
All right.
Okay, so your first question, I understand that you want to work with college and high school athletes, but who would be that one pro athlete who you would like to be a dietitian for?
Oh, to work with? Oh gosh, if I could go back in time, I always loved Mia Hamm. She was like the big athlete when I was growing up. I always thought she was so cool to kind of pick her brain, but there are so many wonderful athletes, but I would go back in time and kind of work with Mia Hamm. She was a classic US soccer player, so.
Nice. The second question, I know you don't like to call it cheat meals, but what's your favorite cheat meal?
Oh, I love ice cream, hands down. Ice cream or any warm baked good. Like I can't, like a warm cookie just warms my soul. So ice cream or warm cookie are my favorite.
Nice. Okay, so this is like a two-part question. Which is like your favorite sport to follow? And do you have a favorite sport to be a dietitian in?
Yeah, great question. I like to watch all sports. I can't say that I'm like a diehard for a single team. My husband, we are from New York originally, so he is a diehard Mets fan. So I would say like by association, I'm a Mets fan for professional baseball. But I am really a team sport athlete. So I love working with lacrosse, field hockey, soccer, basketball, baseball, all of those sorts of sports. But I also have a lot of cross country and track and swimmers that I work with too. So you know, I wouldn't say that there's a specific sport that I tend to work towards, but I definitely attract the team sport athletes and the runners and swimmers as well.
Perfect. Okay. We asked you your favorite food. So your favorite cheat meal, what's your least favorite food to eat?
Oh gosh. My least favorite food. This is so weird, but I've never liked kiwis. Kiwis to me are, they're just a strange, I love all sorts of fruit, but not kiwis. I cannot eat them. I pick them out of everything.
That is an interesting one. I was going to say, I'm not sure I'm a fan of kiwis either, but that's a very specific answer, which is great.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. This is a very broad question, but, well, actually not broad, but if you had to pick right now between a garden salad or a double cheeseburger, what do you go with?
Oh, a double cheeseburger. For sure. Yeah, I tell my athletes all the time, and I'm like, I hate boring salads, hate them. If I'm going to have a salad, like I want it to have some protein and some cheese and a fun dressing. And like, I want it to be fueling, because especially as an athlete, right? You need a lot of fuel. And so I think that's important. So I would definitely choose the double cheeseburger and steak fries on the side for sure.
Nice. I was going to say, I think about 99.9% of people would answer this question. I think the answer was locked and loaded. I think it was the same.
Yeah.
What's your favorite cuisine?
Oh gosh. I love Mexican, like a good burrito or fajita. You really can't go wrong, but any food that I don't have to cook, I truly enjoy also. So anytime we go out to eat, I love cooking, but it's also so nice just to go out and be able to order and not have to think about it.
Absolutely. Tell me one thing about being a sports dietitian that you don't enjoy, like one aspect of your job that you don't enjoy.
Oh, that I don't enjoy. I think it's the stigma that I always eat healthy. As soon as I meet someone and I hate telling them that I'm a dietitian, because they'll be like, oh, you don't want to see what I eat. Or they tap their stomach and they'll be like, oh, I need your help, you know? And I'm always like, no, I don't judge. Like you eat whatever you want. I'm going to be over here eating my cookies. So don't judge me either. So I think that's the one thing I don't like, is that people assume that I'm the nutrition police when I'm not.
Fair enough. What's the one city or country that you really want to visit?
Oh, Italy is next. Definitely next on our list. I actually just got married in Ireland a couple of months ago, so that was super fun. And so we've got the travel bug now, so we want to go to Italy next.
Italy is beautiful. I think you really enjoy it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe if you're not the diet police, that's probably ideal as well for Italy. It's probably you can have like a month of just relaxing.
Yeah, just enjoy.
Yeah. Okay, last couple. Favorite all-time movie or TV show?
Oh, this is a little bit embarrassing, but I am a Bravo housewife. Like, I love all of that stuff. And I think it's because I can put it on and not think. Like, it doesn't drain me. You know, it's just something, it's just background noise where I can, like, be working on something for clients, or I can be just cleaning the house. It's just funny. And so that is definitely something that I love to watch. I'm a Bravo, definitely a big Bravo fan.
I can't judge. I've been watching a lot of reality TV recently as well. I watch a lot of these shows with like Kitchen Nightmares or Bar Rescue, which is like angry chefs going in.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
Yep. So it's a lot. No judgment here. Last question. You'll probably be doing a lot of this, hopefully, in Italy. Traveling by plane, train, or driving?
Oh, this depends. Like when we were in Ireland, it was so nice. We drove, obviously we flew there, but then we just rented a car. And I love just driving because you can just pull off anywhere and truly enjoy what the locals enjoy. And I think that's my favorite thing about traveling is we avoid the tourist traps. Like, you know, you do some of them because you kind of have to, but just being able to pull off and meet with locals, you know, and grab food, grab a snack, grab a coffee. I love that. So I think car would be my favorite.
Well, Stephanie, honestly, it was a pleasure talking to you. It was really nice having you on the podcast. Thank you for taking time out and for sharing all the information that you just did. To all our viewers and listeners, please like, share, comment, and subscribe. Just to mention, Stephanie's information will be down below. So if you guys want to reach out to her, please do. And stay tuned. This episode will be coming very soon. And we guys will catch you all again next week. Thank you.
If you like this episode, make sure to leave a like and share it with anyone else who might be interested. You can also subscribe on any social media platform that you prefer, and all our links are in the bio. We also have a website with all our episodes, as well as blogs and a whole lot of other sports content, so make sure to check that out as well.